Howdy ho, neighbors. How's it going? Stefan Maillet here with you. AddedSouls.com. You know where you're at. You know what time it is. It's Saturday, and I'm chiming in to share some scriptural truth with you. Truth being the key word of our session this day. Truth being the key word to our session this day. I'm just opening the Facebook app here on my laptop. We are live on the Added to the Church of Christ Acts 2:47 page. This page was birthed way back over there in December 2012, if I'm not mistaken, and has been fruitful thus far. Hopefully will continue to be fruitful if Facebook allows, if you will. And if they don't allow, we'll go somewhere else. You can't keep us quiet. There's just absolutely no way you're going to keep Christians quiet. They try and try, though they may, and have been trying for decades, centuries, millennia. We do not keep quiet. All right, so let me see if I can find my video. There we go. We're rolling. Let me open this. Can we open this? Try to open it so I can see some comments here. Gene Bailey, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you, Gene. So, in this episode, we're kind of going to be looking at a few verses. And going to be talking about a few things within that realm. Book of John, if you will. Gospel of John. If you are interested, of course, in this gospel content being produced here live, I do need your help because Facebook's not going to do it. They suppress our content, so you kind of have to like, share, comment, and watch party, all that kind of good stuff in order to find ourselves with an audience. We were kind of taking, me and a few of the added team guys, we were looking back when Facebook had not put a target on our back. We were looking back at the content we were producing and the reach therein, and wow, what a difference. What a difference it makes when Facebook, suppresses your work because you are a Christian and you teach the truth, and they don't want the truth in their sandbox. Anyways, because you all know I could get off on a small soapbox with that one. A rant regarding the leftism of Facebook. Well, that's not what we want to talk about in this video. We want to talk about something that is solid. Foundation. Immovable. A slab. Foundation. Something immovable. Something true and strong. And we find that, of course, in the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, the Holy Writ, inspired writing, God-breathed literature, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Give me the Bible. So, in John chapter 17, verse 17, I quote the recorded words of the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the coming King. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, set them apart, make them holy, righteous, set them apart, different from what is not the truth, and what is the opposite reflection, what is on the other side of the coin if truth is to be held on the right. Well, you have lies on the left. Sanctify them, set them apart, call them out, separate them from this dying world. Separate them from this dying world so that they can be within the inhabitants of your truth, citizens of your kingdom, within the location of the saved, within the location where all spiritual blessings are found. Sanctify them in the truth, not a truth. We're not speaking opinion here. Well, I think you should have pepperoni on your pizza. Well, I don't like pepperoni on my pizza. I like anchovies. Okay. Guess what? We can still both go to heaven. We're not talking about whatever floats your boat. We're not speaking about whatever tickles your fancy. We're not speaking words here that are mere, well, that's your interpretation, and I have my interpretation, and we're just both going to have different interpretations, and we can just all both, peachily float off on this, gummy bear planet, and we'll be fine. No. Is there anything wrong with those things? Well, no. When they are properly applied to things in which they must be described with. If we're talking about pizza, it don't matter what you like as toppings. It may not be what I like as toppings. We're not going to have a fight over it. Why should we? We may have fights about who's the best football team out there right now. Again, it's all subjective stuff over on that side of the fence. No, here in the Bible, we're speaking of solid, objective truth. What is truth? Because here, Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. The. That's an important word. It doesn't say a. The. There's a kind. There's a specific, designated, precise, and accurate kind of truth. It's the truth. His kind. God's kind. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. Friends, what is truth? T-R-U-T-H. Whatever my truth is, it's different from what your truth is, and we all got different truths, and it's really how we feel. Isn't that what the world portrays as truth? They portray truth with the same description they would love. I love this. I love that. Love is love. Love, love, love. But they don't understand really what the word love is. To them, love, again, is a subjective word that can be applied to whatever, the winds of the Prince of Darkness on any given day choose to sneeze anybody towards anybody's direction. Who cares? No. This truth, the truth, is God's truth, and his words are truth. So what is truth? Can it be what I want it to be and different for what? No. No, friends. See, we've lost that. We've lost that solid, grounded foundation that is immovable. And when we do that, we lose trust and hope. We lose faith. We lose faith when we begin to look at the scriptures as accurate as the next man's interpretation or agenda or tradition or denomination or feeling or whatever. We've lost something when we go that path, the world's path, their denominational thinking and ideology, their worldviews. There's no solid faith there. That's why their faith is blind. And as a matter of a fact, most of them even declare it publicly. I have blind faith. That's the faith we must have. Hollywood portrays that all the time when they try to quote, unquote, Christianity, describe Christianity with their blind faith. Well, that's not the faith of the scriptures. That's faith that has lost solid objective truth. That faith that is lost, that is found in the world, is the kind that opens the Bible, reads verses, and says, well, I don't think that's what it means, and you can believe what you want it to mean, and I'll believe what I want it to mean, and we'll all be happy and peachy and go to heaven together. No, that's not truth. That's not the truth. That's not the truth in which we are to be sanctified in. The word of God is truth. It is solid. It is objective. It is 2 + 2 = 4 truth. Well, I believe 2 + 2 = 5, and we can all be quiet. Go away. Go away from us. 2 + 2 = 4. It'll always make 4. It's going to make 4 for everyone on this planet Earth who respects the objective truth of math. 2 + 2 = 4. And I know that is a very simplistic way of looking at things, but thank you, Lord, for making your gospel known to the very simple-minded. See, those who think themselves too smart for their bridges, they're going to keep going and miss the mark. They're always learning something, but they're never going to attain the truth. I'm sure there's a Bible verse in there somewhere that says that. I'm pretty sure there is. Pretty sure there's a verse in the Bible somewhere that says that. No, we don't want that. We want to be humble. We want to be simple. Simple doesn't mean foolish. Simple just means honest with it, sincere, genuine. The truth. We want to know the truth. The truth doesn't mean anything different according to the next man's ideology or ideas. No, no, no. Truth here means something. What does it mean? I'm asking the question, what is truth? Lord, what is truth? I'll tell you what truth is. He says, truth, pay attention now. Here it comes. Drum roll. Brrr. Truth is reality. Truth is reality. That's what truth is. Let me say it one last time. Truth is reality. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. In John chapter 8, am I still connected here with you guys? My screen is frozen. And it seems like if nobody's there anymore. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, the words of Christ again. I quote, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Reality. See, thy word is truth. Sanctify them in your word. The truth. Reality. Everything else is a myth. Science fiction. A fantasy. Sensational. A lie. Not true. There's importance in what's being declared here. In what's being revealed. An objective 2 + 2 = 4 truth. Within this information, the Word of God, the truth, reality, this reality shall set you free. You see, mankind lives a lie. In the general sense, in the greater broad brush of things, mankind lives a lie. They don't live in reality. Look around. Look around. Listen to the language they speak, the things they practice, the traditions they hold dear, the religions they create. They live in something very different than reality. They call abortion things like health care and a woman's choice. Does that sound like reality to you? They say that Islam is a religion of peace. Does that sound like reality to you? They say that atheism is science. Does that sound like reality to you? They say that the Holy Mother Church, the Catholic Church, is the Church of Jesus Christ, and that the Pope is the Vicar of Christ on earth, and he is our Holy Father. Does that sound like reality to you? Fornication is fun. Does that sound like reality? Adultery is adventurous, and love is love. I mean, don't you know that homosexuality is love? Does that sound like reality to you? What about all these different religions that teach all sorts of different things? What about Buddhism? Does putting trust in a statue sound like reality to you? What about all these denominations that claim Christianity? Do they teach reality when they say things like faith alone? Or on the other side of the spectrum, do they sound as if they abode reality when they speak things like meritorious earning of salvation, that you can earn your salvation if you just follow the traditions of the Holy Mother Church? Do those things sound like reality to you? You may think so. You may think so. And a great deal of us most certainly thought that way too, once upon a time. But you see, the truth, reality, the Word of God, sets us free from the bondage of sin and all those lies, which is not reality. Faith. What is faith? Well, it's trust. Do you trust that if the earth doesn't end this day, that tomorrow the sun will rise and set? If you jump up and down right now, do you trust in gravity? Faith. Do you have trust in reality? What's reality? The Word of God. It's the truth. It'll set you free from the bondage of all these religious lies that have been peddled down and passed from forefather to forefather in all different parts of the world that are contrary to what you can plainly read and see in the scriptures. What's the scriptures? The truth. What's the truth? Reality. If we read the Word of God, which is truth, which is reality, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. We shall gain trust in the evidence therein because of the reality of its pure essence, its inspired nature, and we shall be set free. And we continue this path of being set free every day moving forward while we read the scriptures. It takes us away from science fiction and myth and sensationalism and all the denominational tactics they have created throughout the years. And it grounds us in this solid, immovable rock, Christ, the truth, in which we can have hope. If you continue in my word, you see, his word is truth and truth is reality, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you do what the word says do, because you have grown the faith that it produces therein, the trust therein, you shall become productive and active. You shall come to know your purpose and move forward with it. You are a disciple, a follower of Christ. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Freedom. See, we are in shackles. We are in shackles. We're in bondage. We're slaves to what is not reality, to what is fable, myth, science fiction, fiction. We are slaves to the lies therein. We believe things that are simply not true. We give ourselves false hope. That's not reality. Reality is the Word of God. It sets us free from the bondage of all those things. I find that quite powerful, quite revealing. Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Is that reality? Is that truth? Can we find trust in this reality, this truth? Well, yes, we can, because it's objective. It's 2 + 2 = 4. It's immovable. It's true for everyone and anyone at all times, regardless of my existence on this earth or yours. It's true whether I be here or not. It is a truth. It is reality. It is immovable. It is inevitable that this is to be seen in its proper context and delivered to the honesty and sincerity it is being declared. It don't change by the whims of mankind. You can tell yourself all day long that that don't mean what I want it to mean, or that I have a different interpretation to that verse than you do. It don't care. The truth don't care what you feel or what you think. The truth is the truth. Whoever believes and is immersed shall be saved. How much conviction do you hear these days from so-called Christians? Well, you know, I just feel, I think... I would say so. I think that's what I believe there. I think what it says there is that you have to believe in Jesus, and that you accept him in your heart, and that you'll be saved, and then, you know, you should be baptized. But it's not necessary, though. You don't need to be baptized in order to be saved. But I mean that's what's going on here. I mean, if it was important, it would say, but he who has disbelieved and not been baptized shall be damned. It doesn't say that, so, you know, I think it's just whatever we think it means. Is that the kind of God you want to worship? A God whose truth lingers on the whims of man's ideology? Is that really the kind of God we want to follow and worship? Is that the true God of Abraham, Isaiah, Jacob? Is that the God of the Bible? No, it isn't. The God of the Bible has an objective truth to every single verse in his word, the scriptures. We just need to catch up to it. Some of us, it takes longer than others, depending on the time we put into it. But this verse here, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned, means exactly what it says there. It says that belief you must have in Christ. And when you have that belief, you must be immersed in water. There's a condition coupled together, and it must happen in order for salvation to take place. I don't care who you are out there. You can't say anything otherwise to change this text. It will always say what it says till the end of time, and you are judged by this very verse. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe shall be damned. Why? Because the person who does not believe will never be immersed in water for the forgiveness of his or her sins. They'll never want to believe in that reality, that truth, that reality that sets men free from the bondage of the lies they previously live in. The myth. What's the myth? Well, all you need to do is accept Jesus in your heart and just believe and have a mental moment or a religious experience, and you're saved right there and then. Or you can go to the mourner's bench, or you can go after that you've been saved, you know, and go to any church you please, any denomination that you find, you know, makes you happy and comfortable, and you'll be fine. And you should be baptized because it's a command, but it's not really necessary for salvation, and you should believe that. Well, what about the thief on the cross? Well, the thief on the cross was never baptized, was he? The thief on the cross was not baptized. What about John 3:16? John 3:16 never says baptism. What about that? What about that? See, you're living in a myth. You're living on what's been passed on to you from your forefathers, traditions, the church your parents grew up in and have given to you, a denomination, a lie, fiction. See, the truth that sets you free from that is right there staring straight into your eyes, your heart, pierces you, doesn't it? Either you're going to hate it and burn it, or you're going to accept it and do it. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. That's how that works. Every other verse in the Bible speaks of an objective truth. Now, are there certain verses in the Bible in which we may not agree on in a certain way or another that does not hinder our salvation? Well, of course. But that don't mean that verse don't teach an objective truth. See, Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Spirit, teaches an objective truth. That means something, and it's up to us to reach our, to catch up to God with that teaching. Now, we may have some variances in opinions, but it's teaching a truth. It means something. The gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 says something, it means something, and it is something. But what is immovable? Repent, and let each and every one of you be immersed. You do that with the authority of Jesus Christ in order to have the forgiveness of sins, but you can't do that if you don't believe. See, belief is a requirement that qualifies you to move forward and have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, whom he shed on that cross, fulfilling all the prophets. Acts 22:16, you see. You're clothed with Christ, Galatians 3:27, it's done by faith, Galatians 3:26. Baptism, it's a burial, Romans 6:3-4. It's reality. That's reality. Colossians 2:12, 1 Peter 3:21, can't say it any plainer. Baptism now saves you. But it won't save you if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You need to also repent. You need to confess. See, there are things that must be done. It is reality. Now back to John here. What do you guys think? Does this make sense to you? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We go back to John. My Bible's falling apart. John. Where were we the first place we opened up here? John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Remember that. Truth is reality. The word of God is reality. John 8:32 or 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth is reality. The word of God is truth. The word of God is reality. You can trust in the word of God. Faith. See, the world is trapped in lies. And sadly, those lies have crept into the church with many of our fellow brethren, brothers and sisters, who think the Bible, again, is just the interpretation of the next Christian, the next generation, the next culture. And I'm afraid that is not the truth that is spoken in the Bible. The truth that is spoken in the Bible is understood by its context, and it is binding. It is law. It is love and compassion, but it is justice and judgment as well. It is truth. The truth. It's not what Stefan says. It's not what you say. It's what the Bible says. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. It's the truth that sets men free, the reality. See, we're trapped in a lie, in a myth, in fiction. And the Word of God sets us free from that, puts us in reality, makes us holy, set apart, calls us out of the myth. Sets us in the location of reality, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. See, that's reality. Jesus said he would build his church. That's reality. He built his church. That's reality. His church is his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Reality, truth. He built his church. It was recorded forevermore time in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. You can see therein the doors being opened on the day of Pentecost. From great power on high, the Holy Spirit being poured out, the power of the Holy Spirit poured out on mankind. It was all foretold. The Christ foretold these things, reality. Reality. The conditions to enter this kingdom were given. Reality. For you and I today to be right with God, we must have the forgiveness of sins that can only come through the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His gospel, it saves, Romans 1:16. How? Where? When? Well, if you believe and you repent of your sins, and you wish to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, to whom you will serve and follow, even if it mean death, then you qualify to be immersed in water. And there in that water, Jesus Christ will save your soul. You don't believe that? You don't believe reality. See, reality can be defended in court. You don't believe that, you don't believe in reality. You're believing a lie. And the Word of God is truth, and truth is reality, and is willing to set you free from the bondage of those lies. You just need to trust in it. When you see someone say this, that, and the other, and you see what the Bible says, you put whatever this, that, and the other has been said away, and you receive wholeheartedly, humbly, the Word of God. You trust it. That's why, again, Christ says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe shall be damned, because the unbeliever will never have trust in the reality of God's Word, saying, no human being accountable of age, rejecting the gospel, being immersed for the forgiveness of sins, can go to heaven. It don't matter how, quote unquote, good this person may be, because again, we are not saved by our works. It's not by the amount of old ladies you help cross the street that's going to earn your salvation. You are saved by grace through faith. We can't boast of that. See, when you submit wholeheartedly to the will of God and you give obedience, you show faith, trust in his reality, his words, and you are immersed in that water as a believer, you are submissive. You are not boasting of anything. You're not working anything out. Anyone telling you otherwise is not speaking reality to you. And sadly, that's what's been going on in this world. Here's another myth. That if this truth is spoken, it's somehow offending and pushes people away. It's just not PC. It's not politically correct. It's so brash. It's so forceful. It just has no compassion and love. That is a bunch of baloney. That's not reality. That's not reality. What's reality? The prophets, the Baptists, the Christ, the apostles speaking the word of God. Truth, reality. Reality hurts. You know what I'm talking about. You go to the doctor comes back in with the test results, and reality time. You have a few weeks to live. What if he didn't say that at all? Well, I don't want to offend him, and I don't want to tell him that he's only got 2 weeks, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to tell him everything's okay. Yeah, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You'd be greatly angry. You'd sue him. Your family would sue the doctor. And rightfully so. Okay. So, we just reason through a earthly scenario that is temporal, because these physical vessels don't last long, do they? Now, let's transition this thought, this logic, over to the spiritual realm. How much more important is it now? We need to be upfront with each other when it comes to the truth. See, we tend to see someone fall off the boat into the sea, the ocean, and we're just screaming at them saying, "Hey, man, don't worry about it. You can swim for a while. I'll throw you a life jacket after we get to know each other a bit longer. Would you like a hot dog? I'll go get you something here. Just stay there. Don't drown on me. Ha ha ha." Well, of course not. What are you going to do? You're immediately going to throw that person a life jacket, give them instructions in which they must hold on to the jacket and to the rope, and bring them back into the boat where safety is found. The house is burning. Hey, guys, you may want to think of getting out there. I don't know. Maybe we should get to know each other first. Now, I'm speaking in a public way, gospel evangelism in a public way, but you know what I'm saying. So we need to go away from what is myth, what is a lie, and we need to start embracing reality, the Word of God, the truth that sets us free. What do you guys think? Don't we need this? Don't we need the help of our great and powerful Maker, the great I Am? We've fallen so far from Him. And us Christians, right? Members of the Church of Christ. Oh, we're quick to say amen. We're quick to say amen when John over there, John the Immerser there, you know, John the Baptist, yeah, but, well, he's screaming after the heathens there. He's yelling there after the heathens, and he's telling them to repent. Yeah, amen, John! You tell those heathens! Those crazy Romans, you tell them! Oh, there's John again. There, you see him? There's John the Immerser again. Oh, look at him. He's rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, it's about time someone did, right? I mean, amen, John. Somebody should tell them. They've been acting like hypocrites all these times. You tell them, John. Oh, he's coming over here. Oh, John's coming over here. Look, he's coming over here. Come here, John. Man, I want to hear from you. Come on. Preach to us, John. Tell us the truth. How dare he? How dare he? You get out of here. How dare you tell us to repent? How dare you tell us to repent? You get out of here. As a matter of fact, let's murder him. Let's murder this man. Let's murder him. Can't believe you come here telling me to repent. You stick to the big picture. You stick to telling the heathens they must repent. Or those crazy religious leaders over there. But don't you dare come to tell us to repent. That sound familiar? How about Paul, when he's speaking to the Jews, saying, oh, those Greeks, those Gentiles, they need to repent from their crazy lives. Yeah, amen, Paul, amen. You tell those crazy heathens, those Gentiles, those dogs. Then Paul turns around and says, you have no excuse at all. You need to repent as well. You're as crazy as the Gentiles. You Jews are as crazy as the heathens. Kill them! Kill Paul! Oh, here's the Christ. Give him a sword. Let's build him a kingdom. Let's get rid of all the let's get rid of all the Romans. Let's get rid of all these heathens. Jesus says, you need to repent. What? We're the Jews. What are you talking about? Repent. Get rid of them. Get rid of them now. Stone the prophets. Behead the Baptist. Crucify the Christ. Martyr the apostles. Is it so different now? Is it so different now? The Word of God has not changed. When we open the Bible, when we walk into this wilderness, what is it that we expect to see? When we open the Bible, what is it that we expect to read and see? A reed shaken by the wind? Or reality? Reality, the Word of God, truth. Am I your enemy for speaking reality? Oh boy, many things we need to think about. Friends, if anything, remember this one from this session. Truth is reality. Reality will set you free from fiction, myth. Isn't that good? Isn't the Word of God good? All right, I best be leaving yous on your ways. If you would like to know more, if you would like to set up some studies, you can reach out to us. By all means, send us a private message. You can contact us at addedsouls.com. You can email me at addedsouls@gmail.com. You can find us. We're around. We want to help you know reality, the Word of God. It's in the Bible. You can open it up and read it for yourself. There it is. It's very different than what the world teaches. Are you ready to make that decision? Are you ready to count the cost? At all expense, you might lose family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors. You might lose them. They might hate you. They might turn on you. But what have you gained? I count it all rubbish. All of it. Everything I've lost that belonged to the world, it's all rubbish. I now belong to Christ. That's what counts. That's reality. That's truth. That's solid. I can have trust in that, faith in the Word. Isn't that cool? All right, my friends, if you find any value in this information, like, share, comment, watch party, you can most certainly partake of this work with me over at patreon.com/addedsouls. You can also go to subscribestar.com/addedsouls. It helps buy all the tech gadgets you see here that makes this stuff possible. I appreciate you all a great deal. Stay focused. Stay positive. And we shall most certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing. God bless.